Hello, everyone. This is Susie Ward. Welcome to Matthew and Friends. I think you all know that I am a Matthew's mother and that many of our telepathic conversations are in the four Matthew books. But you wouldn't have any way of knowing that I received everything in the first book during the first few weeks after Matthew and I connected early in 1994. And by late that summer, I had received most of the information that's in the second book. Well, excuse me, please. 5 years passed, and those texts still were only Word files in my computer. None of the many publishers I had contacted had shown any interest, and my experience with an online publishing service was pretty much of a disaster because of the problems that they were encountering. So finally, I formed my own little publishing company, and in August 2001, I offered those two books free for downloading on my website. That is when the people that I call the Matthew Book Angels started to appear. One of the earliest angels is Russ Michael. Russ is a prolific author of spiritual books, including Finding Your Soulmate, the book that introduced that term soulmate, and has been translated into 12 languages. Actually, Michael is better known to friends by Michael than Russ. Michael heard about my books and asked if I would send them for his review. Well, I had only a couple of copies, but my immediate reply was, "You bet I will." Not only did Michael publish great reviews in his worldwide newsletter, but he contacted a number of foreign publishers and recommended that they translate the books into their languages. Now, however ironic this is, it's because of Michael's interest and assistance that all four Matthew books were in stores in Romania before even one copy of the English editions was in any store here in the United States. About 6 years ago, I was able to thank Michael personally. My husband Bob and my daughter Betsy and I spent a delightful afternoon with Michael and his family when they were visiting in the States from their home in Austria. Today, I have the great pleasure of introducing this very special Matthew Books angel named Michael. Before I welcome Michael, I just want to mention that we will be taking calls. So, if you would like to make any comments or ask Michael any questions, the toll-free numbers are on your monitor. And now, Michael, greetings to you.
Greetings to you, dear. So it's been a while since we've talked.
I know, and it's so lovely to hear your voice again. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. You know, I think that health is always a state of mind, and I never think in terms of age, and so I can do anything I could do when I was 20.
Would you like to mention your age? You don't have to, because you are perpetually youthful in spirit, but just to...
Well, I don't mind mentioning my next birthday, I will be 82, so I'm moving right along there, but actually I still feel like I'm 19.
I know that. I can relate to that feeling. Believe me, I'm just a few years behind you, Michael. So definitely, health and well-being are so much a state of mind. Speaking of state, I introduced you as living in Austria because you are, but you were born in the States, and your experiences here were tremendously formative in forming your life's pathway. So would you please give listeners just a bit about your background in the state?
Well, I surely will. My life really began, as I've always said, at my lectures and workshops, at my death. I died at age 18, literally, and came back into the body with a totally different mindset, because when you're without a body and you come back into the body, it's such an incredible rush. In fact, I've never lost that feeling of that sensation of just being filled with the joy of life ever since that experience. So I was very fortunate, and I'm certain that there are no accidents, so that it was timed for me to wake up.
Well, that kind of experience would certainly have a tremendous impact. But in your case, you used it totally, totally positively. And would you mention just a bit more about what you were lecturing on and where?
Okay, yeah. Well, during the course of my life, I had my ups and downs naturally, but after my first 30 days back into the body, I started to drop or lower my vibration back again towards the regular social consciousness state, which I held for quite a few years. And then finally I reached a point at age 35 where I really woke up to the fact that life was going on past me and I wasn't really joining it to do what I had come to do. Because during my death experience, not only was I shown several past lives, but I was shown that I had failed in three past lifetimes to do what I had come to do. And so I was determined to get back when I was offered the choice to be able to go back into the body, to come back and to finish off what I had done. So at age 35, when I was totally disgusted with civilization and went to live in a cave, which I literally did, I got to Hawaii and found a cave there, and it was heaven on earth. But then in the middle of the night, the first night I arrived there, I was told by a voice that had come to me many times before, and every time it came, when I didn't listen, I paid a strong price. So this voice spoke very strongly and said that I had to get back to civilization and go to work, that it was time and I could not vegetate there in the cave. So I turned right around and came back, and through a series of studying under various master mentors, I reached the point where my master teacher, the Master DK, instructed all of his disciples to begin to write their own books and to do lectures and whatever they could to help to awaken humanity. And so that's how I began my own work. And I wrote my first book called The Lion Howl of Meditation. And it was accepted immediately by bookstores and a major publisher called Divorce and Company. And Arthur Peaty, who owned the company, said, well, leave about 10 copies, if you will, because I wanted to leave them 50 copies. And he said, I think you'll be very lucky if we sell these through our distribution network. And I said, oh, no. I said, you'll sell all these very fast, and you'll be ordering more. Sure enough, within a few weeks, those books were gone. He ordered 10 more, and pretty soon he was ordering 50 at a time, then 200 at a time. So after that experience, I had another publisher who offered to publish 4 of my books all at once, and one of them was, the next one was Finding Your Soulmate, which I wrote in 1970, and that has been a classic seller ever since. I wrote the Finding Your Soulmate book because I felt it was a very subtle way of introducing the concepts of the secret, or the information that we are more than the body, that we are a soul, and that we there's a vast difference between you and I come from the soul perspective rather than from the ego or mind perspective. And so that was the beginning, and from that point on, I lectured almost nonstop for 10 years across the country and at conferences and so forth to spread the word and set up radio and television talk shows. And during the course of that period, I did over 500 TV and radio appearances. So the word gradually got out to the masses. So we're looking back at early 1970s. Are you there?
I am. And Michael, and listeners, please excuse me just a moment. If you hear the barking in the background.
I hear the barking, and it's wonderful.
Yes. Well, my firm, fur kids are rather like children. They
sure.
have their spats. excuse me. Oh, they seem to have they also resolved it. That's good. Okay. yes, there are five of these adopted, I speak of them as our antique kids, because my children and my grandchildren are very young and also very distant. Michael, I'd like to go back to your mention of the secret, the way that secret has evolved,
yes.
and you are speaking of the law of attraction, right?
Absolutely, but I'm speaking
yes.
about more than that, because, you see, one of the things about the secret is that has come out now that has made such a mass impression, and I'm so thankful for that. Because this is really opening doors that have never been opened before. But, however, the problem is that the secret is not really being told for what it is, because the actual secret is that we are the extensions and expansions of God Creator. And unless you understand that secret, you haven't learned the secret. And so that's very necessary in teaching the laws of creation, because the law of attraction and the various laws that are involved, the law of karma, cause and effect, and other very simple but powerful laws of nature are always at work. But we need to get to the base of what we're trying to understand, and that is that finally one day each and all of us will wake up to the sacred fact that has been a secret and held a secret, that we are living gods and goddesses, and that we are here on earth to shine the light of our knowledge and of our light and our love to everyone else, and to live in harmony and peace and joy, and to fill our lives and the lives with those that we touch with that same kind of loving spirit.
Michael, thank you so much for explaining what the secret actually is. I believe that the Hickses who first wrote about this did know this. However, as the secret has evolved from that beginning, my sense is that it has been so greatly diluted into manifest the good. Yeah, and the way it's being used now in seminars and lectures and things is focusing on create an abundance of money.
Right.
And I'm not saying that isn't one aspect of what we are able to create, but it is such a diluted, and really, in this case, since the focus is primarily on that, it's such a distortion of the secret, which you explained in its fullness, and thank you. Thank you for doing that. I do think
thank
that.
Thank you. You know, we can go. We can go many steps further than that too, because you know, when we live in duality, we express what is called the dark or the light, and all of us have the dark side and the light side within us. And it's a matter of understanding that and focusing finally on the fact that the light is what we are and who we are, and moving towards that light. And there's a science behind all of this, and this is why I've written, you know, my book's like The Science of White Magic, because it explains the difference between putting your focus on that which serves you and others, meaning the spiritual self, versus the dark forces, where the effort is on serving self and serving the dark aspect of nature. And it's important to understand that the laws of nature are powerful. The law of attraction is powerful, but you and I are even more powerful than thought. I mean, we create thought within our own beings because of who and what we are. We are extensions of God, Creator Source. And so that power is within us, but each and all of us must also learn that there are ways and means of accomplishing what we are here to do and what we came to express. And made actually a contract with Creator God Source before we came into the body, and with our own self. I know this doesn't mean that we're stuck or that we're destined to have to do this or that, because we've been given free will. I mean, we are extensions of Creator God, and free will is given to us, and God never judges. It was the most beautiful thing that when I had my death experience, I learned immediately that there was no God that stood over my shoulder and judged me, but I judged myself so severely, and I had not only the chance to look at the 18 years where I had failed to be the loving soul that I had agreed to come in and be, but I also was shown segments of two former other lifetimes, one in ancient Egypt and one in very, very old Tibet, area, where I had also failed there, where I had positions of dynamic power, where I could have made some big inroads into mass consciousness on Earth, but I failed to do it. And it was that feeling of failure, of failing three times, where I was visibly shown where I had failed, that really motivated, well, inspired is a better word, me to want to get back and get at the job again and get it done this time. And so as soon as I made that decision, I was permitted to come back into the body. It was like coming down from an elevator in terms of vibration-wise. I could feel myself from a high, incredible state of being in the presence of this dazzling white light to suddenly being dropped into what was a incredible shattering low vibration, and lower and lower and lower and slower and slower and slower, until finally it grounded, and where I was back in my body consciousness, and I was being surrounded by a group of Navy buddies who had stood around me because I had died during that interim. And they couldn't find any pulse or any sign of breathing or anything. And so when I awoke, you know, they were all shouting and screaming, you know, make way, you know, he's coming too. But it wasn't anything they had done at their end of the line here on Earth, because it was what was decided on the inner level, because everything moves from the inner to the outer, not the other way around. And that's one of the parts of the secret, too, is to understand that we have this power. It's what all of the masters and our wonderful guides from outer space, Hatan and the many other great beings, keep telling us. We must understand that we are powerful beings, and our thoughts have immense power.
No, I... I have heard a number of people explain their experiences as they remember them of what we commonly call near-death experiences. Even my daughter had one. And what is so unique about what you are explaining that you remember is, well, what you remember, the extent of that experience to show you almost like the life print review that comes after real physical death, when you know, when there's no coming back into the body. But
absolutely, and this is the case. You know, that's the difference between a near-death experience and a death experience. When you have the death experience, you do experience that flashback. I relived every single second of those 18 years, and there wasn't a thing that was missed by my consciousness as I looked at everything that I had said and done and felt and thought.
But to
like
have
an eternity where you can look at those things, but it's in a split second in terms of our physical reality.
But what I think is so phenomenal is the clear memories that you have of that. I mean, once back in a dense body, or so it has been explained to me, is that the brain, the third density brain, cannot accurately download experiences that occur within the higher densities. But the soul absorbs the loving energy, the inspiration to change, make changes in one's life for the better. And you just have these exquisitely explicit memories of how much you lacked in those previous lifetimes where you came in for those purposes and you didn't do it.
That's
so
right.
No wonder you're such a super person this time around.
Well, thank you. Everyone is a super person, aren't we? We're just doing the best we can and with what we are and who we are and where we stand. We can't do any more, and we're never asked to do more than that. It's the sincerity of our intent that determines who and what we are at each and every given moment of life. And, you know, that experience of mine was indelibly impressed in my consciousness that I could never forget it. It's like in a second I can go back to that experience of being in the white light and recalling that it was beyond description, the feelings of the heights of it. But you made a good point because, you see, there are levels and dimensions of consciousness, and most death experiences, when we leave the body, we go into the fourth dimension, and I immediately left, and I was at the very lowest dimension of that fourth dimension because I was so angry and upset, and I met some real ghouls and ghosts and monsters, and it was that which made me call out for help that brought the white light to me, and then that raised my vibration back up to the nirvana or heavenly state. So when I came back into the body, my whole being rang for 30 days with that vibration, and it never left me in a sense, because from that point on I've been able to have psychic visions and flashes and always being forewarned of what is coming ahead, so that I was told that if I failed to do this, this and this would happen. And the one or two times when I decided, oh, I wasn't going to listen, I paid a horrible price. So having learned the lesson once or twice, you pretty much pay attention after that. So when I took this long trip all the way to Hawaii and then went 17 hours up a mountain trail and finally got down into the Valley of the Lost Tribe in the island of Kauai, Hawaii, and found the cave. And then I was told the first night that I had to go back when there I was in heaven on earth. You can imagine the resistance I felt. Here I was. I was so disgusted with civilization. I felt everyone was just totally uncivilized, and I didn't want to live with a civilization such as that. So I wanted to spend the rest of my days in a cave. And I even met a hermit there in the valley who was also living in a cave. And he was astounded when he discovered I was going to leave the very next day, that I had that vision that night. But I had to go. I had to come back to civilization, because when I hear that voice, and it is a firm voice, the inner voice of the soul, and the Holy Spirit, whatever you wish to call it, when that voice speaks, you must listen or pay the price.
Well, our souls are so powerful and so eager for us to get on the right track that they do let us know very firmly when we take detours that are not in accordance with what we signed up for before we were born.
Right.
Now, you know, the thing is, your experiences are so profound that most of us don't have those. We have conscience and inspiration and aspirations, but we don't have, say, spiritual 2x4s across the head.
Right. I understand.
This is
why I admire so much a person that is awakening and becoming aware of their identity who has not had a death experience. Fortunately, it appears, because I have encountered so many individuals. I mean, you know, you can imagine over the year, 10 years of cross-country lecturing that was constant throughout the entire 1970s and on radio and television broadcasts, how many people I would encounter, and so many that had death experiences or near-death experiences. It was almost like thousands. And I'm just touching, you know, a small amount of these people, so there must be hundreds of thousands of people, like your own daughter, Bessie. She said she had near-death experience.
Yes,
well,
she did.
Well, that is such a gift. What a wonderful gift.
Well, she had to have emergency brain surgery to get it.
I think it's a matter of timing again. You know, if you read the Matthew books and you know, I still consider them to be in the top 10 types of books that I've ever read, and I recommend them highly to everyone who's listening to this program. Get them all and read them, because the information is so wide and deep and across the whole dimensional realm of which we live in, and so there's so much to be offered to you there. And, you know, I have a wide range of books, too. I've written books about the dead zone, for example, or the birth of Earth as a star. And those are two companion books which relate to the fourth dimension, which is the dead zone, where we go after we drop the physical body, because we've got to go somewhere, and that's where we go. We go to the fourth dimension, and we're either in the lower part of it or the higher part of it when we get there. And as Matthew points out, there are guides that are instantly there ready to help us to move up to higher and higher levels, where we are at our comfort zone level, which is the vibratory tone that we sound or we ring from our own being. It's just a wonderful world we live in. And there's so much to know and to learn and to be and to do. And, it's a fun life, but we've got to realize that it is, and to focus on that part of it. It's easy enough to get drawn into the challenges at the physical level, and you can be sure I'm swamped with them daily, just like everyone else around us is. And I was so fortunate when my computer was dying that a wonderful subscriber friend from Canada immediately offered to send me a laptop computer, which I now use, and so I'm back in service because I was working with a 12-year-old computer with a 98 Windows, and it was getting ready to be dead at any moment. But the minute that I asked, which is what the law requires, this beautiful soul and his wife responded immediately, and now I have this wonderful laptop with the inbuilt features. I can actually talk to and see my friend Ed Robertson, who is also a chocolate king like myself. And so we enjoyed a face-to-face talk on Skype, where I could see him and he could see me while we're talking to each other through my new laptop computer. So blessings come in great disguises.
I remember Ed well, and I'm delighted that now you two can talk and see each other as you're doing it.
Michael, this is... I can barely hear you. In fact, there's nothing but a faint sound in the background. Are you still able to hear me?
Oh, you are coming through perfectly. Is this better? I can speak louder. Can you hear me now? Michael?
Yes. What I just did is I pushed another button on my phone, which increased your volume about 20 times.
Okay. In that case, okay. This is a good point before we continue. For you to mention your website, I'm sure that listeners would like to refresh their memory about what you have been saying, either finding it on your website or purchasing your books. So would you do that, please, now?
Oh, absolutely. I would like to have any listeners that are interested to come to www.russmichaelebooks.com. That's RussMichaelE, the letter E, books, OOKS.com.
Thank you.
You bet. And
there's
also a blog where people can have conversations with me via the internet too, that they can obtain there. And there's another website that I have, which is www.soulmates.com.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
You mentioned a blog. I think it's marvelous that you have time to be involved in that kind of interaction. I have hundreds of emails in my unread emails that go back to last April. And several times people have said, please set up a blog. That I could. I would like to mention something where you were talking about at physical death, the soul is drawn to either the dead zone part of nirvana, which Matthew has said is the proper name of the world we call heaven, or at a higher point. And I just want to mention that that is not an arbitrary decision at all.
That's right.
Throughout the physical lifetime, we are registering energy by everything. thought, every motivation, every action, every intent, and all of that is registered in our life prints in the Akashic Records. Mm-hmm. At the end of this physical lifetime, whatever energy has been registered there is what automatically takes us to the part of nirvana in accordance with that. That is why how we live here throughout the lifetimes, not some sort of deathbed conversion here, but the composite mm-hmm. energy of the lifetime is what determines where we go, that part of nirvana. And as you said, Michael, regardless of what part it is, there are constantly spirit guides and the other emissaries of God who are shining light to all the souls, wherever they are. And yes. by accepting that light, the souls who arrive in the lowest parts and the lower parts can automatically rise into the higher layers or parts of nirvana. So thank you for letting me get that in there.
Yes. I would like to add to that now the dead zone is a term I use in my books and explain clearly so that there's no confusion. Is literally the fourth dimension, whether you're at the high point or the low point, you're no longer in the physical body, so you're in that other space, which is the fourth dimension, which consists of the lower astral to the highest nirvana state. That's the fourth dimension, and at some point we'll all rise and transcend beyond that into the fifth dimension, and there are individuals, and I'm sure Matthew is certainly working a great deal in the fifth dimension and beyond, as well as in the fourth dimension. But it's
yes,
very important
yes,
to realize that our entry into the fourth dimension depends on our last thought. That's why every thought that you have it counts. But when you have that last thought, then brings you there, and then you move from that point where you entered to your natural level that you described very clearly. It's the majority of our life that creates the sound or the tone of who and what we are. It isn't just the moment by moment things that we do. When you add all the accumulative experience of past lives plus this life together, that is the being that you are, or the being that I am, and that I am is an identity which is totally unique, because just like the snowflake or the sands on the shores of the seas of the universe, no two are alike. You know, we're all unique. We're all unique extensions of the one God source. We're extensions and expansions of that living God creator source, nothing less, nothing more, and we can just give thanks that we are, and that we are aware of it, because the awareness of being it is what counts. Otherwise, you're in the dark, and being in the dark is no fun. Waking
right.
up is fun.
Yes, awareness. I'm so glad you mentioned that word. Soul-level awareness that...
Right.
Even though we remain our independent souls, we are inseparable from all other souls because we are inseparable from God, who
Absolutely.
Is the composite of all of us.
Right.
Michael, this is a great digression from what we've been talking about, but I know that... in your newsletter and in your living, you place great emphasis upon health and how you have maintained your health. Would you please share some of that?
Okay, I'll be glad to. Of course, you know, health begins in the mind and is always the major focus, because the mind is more powerful than any drugs or anything we eat or drink or consume or breathe or intake in any way into our body. And Matthew, I'm sure, would agree 100% with that. The thing that is important in life, though, is that there are so many things that come and go around us, and we have so many options to try this and try that, and everybody is trying to sell their product, and I've tried a lot of them in my life just because of the interest involved and the promises of incomes involved and so many reasons I've encountered many, many what we could call really, truly miracle products that do wonderful things. And I've also written various books concerning that, and there are miracle products. There's an incredible product out now that Jim Humble has invented. It's a natural product called MMS product, and it's a supplement that Jim claims in his books, and I believe Jim 100%, that 390 out of 390 AIDS patients were all cured within 8 months. 60% of them were cured of AIDS within 4 days. And it took a while for the rest of them, but finally after 8 months, all 390 had been discharged from the clinic. This was a clinical situation.
And yeah, the information about that is on your site. Am I right about that?
Yes. In fact, you can download book one of God and Miracle Products at my website, and then you can buy the second book too, and it will also explain not only the the book one explains all about the wonderful miracle products that Clayton Pettiton brought to Earth, and there are a host of them, including Neutralizer and Neutralizer Gel and Miracle Soap.
Excuse me, please. I don't want to get into an advertisement here.
Yeah, right, I understand.
But for the people who would like to investigate this, they can find that information on your site, right?
They can get that information there, and they can download the free book and get my other book there, too.
Yeah. Okay, great. I would like to mention that our bodies have self-healing mechanisms. And that a lot of the chemicals that are in prescription medications and over-the-counter medications can seriously interfere with our body's self-healing mechanisms. So it really does come back to being very discerning, paying attention to what our bodies are telling us and our soul's messages that come through as intuition. And
yes.
And what you mentioned at the very beginning, health is a state of mind.
Absolutely. In fact, you know what I love about Abraham, who's done so much to help introduce the real concept of the secret, is that he makes a statement which I know is absolutely true, that well-being, capital W and capital B, is always being pressed upon us and within us and around us at every single moment of our life. And all we have to do is open up to it and accept it and acknowledge it, and it's ours. And that's where it's important to realize that the power within us is far more than any product or any external bandage. Or band-aid that we might put onto our body or onto our consciousness. It's the inner self that we identify with and that we claim and that we hold that makes who we are and what we are. I mean, I can tell you that from early morning until right now, here it is, 1 o'clock almost here in Austria, and I'm charged with energy. I mean, charged with it. I don't lack any vitality from the when I wake up to when I go to bed. Why? Because that's who I am and what I am. I don't identify with being tired or being out of energy or being out of sync with the things around me. It's a wonderful life. It's a fun life, but you have to enjoy the fun of it. And, you know, I also want to mention, I mentioned chocolate before, and I've just written a book, Chocolate for Health, which you can find at my website. I love chocolate. I've eaten it so much all my life, and it's such a wonderful thrill to discover that the leading-edge scientists are saying chocolate is the healthiest tested food that they have found. Isn't that wonderful good news for chocolate lovers?
Oh, and there are so many of them. Yes, I have been reading about that very recently, and Bob is a chocoholic. So, you know, I was very happy to read this and pass it on to him. Now he feels so virtuous, you know.
Yeah, he could feel virtuous before, because before he was a sinner, according to social consciousness.
Well,
you know, this is a good thing about learning what's going on, because things are changing very fast on Earth, and the most important thing that is happening is enlightenment. This, you know, what that means is the light is shining in dark spaces that have not, where it has not shone before. It's like Matthew said years ago, this would be coming, and it has come. It's arriving. You know, everything now is being shouted from the rooftops. There are no secrets anymore.
Yes, Michael, please hold that thought, because I'd like you to expound on that. I was hoping we could touch on that today. I'm looking at the clock. I'm just going to mention briefly the guest on the April show, and then I will come back to you for this very important message of what's going on in the world. Okay, the Iftikhar Ahmed, who is a dear family friend and a physician better known to his patients as Dr. Ifti, will be my guest April 16th. Ifti graduated from Dow Medical College in Pakistan, and after completing residency in pathology and dermatology at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota in 1990, he was asked to join the staff as clinician and professor. Building on his comprehensive knowledge of both Eastern and Western medicine, Ifti is now directing a research project at a cutting-edge laboratory. So please be sure to tune in April 16th when Ifti shares his views on health care on our near horizon. And now, Michael, back to you.
Thank you. It sounds like you're going to have a wonderfully interesting guest. These are the kind of people, you know, that are here to help educate the masses that are eager for the light to shine into their lives. And you are also one of those shining souls, which that I recognized as a sister of light when we came together in Yelm, Washington so many years ago. And I'm so happy to be talking with you again.
It is lovely after all these years. Well, I recognized you as a brilliant light being when you did so much to help me get the Matthew books out of my computer. Well, and, you know, into a substantial number of them. Now, would you please, we do have a few more minutes. So let's get back to what is going on in our world today, the great changes that are coming about that are producing this consciousness raising, so that there are even programs like this.
Yes, isn't it wonderful? You know, we're so thankful to have the Internet where these kind of programs can be featured on, because the dark cabal or the dark forces that have their plan, where they intended to control the masses on Earth and have absolute tyrannical control of over each and all of us, have certainly taken over, you know, the regular media, so that we're just being brainwashed terror and all the things that we don't want to see and to hear on television and through the regular news media. But here we have the Internet now, which was brought to us by the higher beings and through our space brothers and the technology that has been gifted to us for this very purpose, that we would have an opening, a door, where people could learn about what is the truth, in opposition to what we are being told and being guided toward by the dark forces. So it's just wonderful to know that people are waking up and nothing is being hidden anymore. There are just groups merging with groups, and light keeps building and building. The dark, by its nature, does not trust another and consequently cannot build a solid, long relationship. But people of the light merge together because trust is the basis of the interaction with each other, and that trust builds and builds, and consequently these grids of light have formed all over Earth, within the Earth, around the Earth, upon the Earth, and inside of each and all of us, so that we're drawn to the light. These are the times. These are the end times. It's what we came here to do and be. And like you said, quoting from Matthew and the books and the learnings that you have learned, it's very important what we think and what we feel. And so as each one of us contributes to feeling the best, thinking the best, seeing the best, we are doing what we have come here to do. It's a wonderful, fun life.
It is. We just need to know that and feel grateful for all the good parts, it not be drawn into the traumas. Yes, be compassionate and assist wherever possible with whatever resources we have, but not be drawn into the dramas that create fear. Fear is the greatest tool and the fuel of the darkness. And as you say, the light is so much stronger than the darkness. Just think about it. You go into a dark room and just light a match. It has made that dent in the darkness. And now, with all the consciousness raising, all the truth seeking and the soul searching, the amount of light that each of us individually is producing is phenomenal. And it is transmuting the darkness. And when you mentioned the end times, please let me just add a bit to that. It's the end times of the darkness in our world.
Absolutely, because it's not the
it's
end
not
times
Armageddon.
Of the physical Earth. Because the Earth is being born as a star, and we are part of that star.
And we are taking our rightful places as universal citizens.
Yes.
It is an exciting time. We all chose to be here and were selected. Many who chose were not. But we were all selected to be here to participate. And that is the excitement of knowing what a difference we individually and collectively are making.
Absolutely.
Michael, dear, thank you so, so much for staying up until the wee hours in Austria to be with us today. Thank you for everything that, all of the enlightenment that you have shared with our listeners. Matthew and I send you love and blessings and peace. Well, Matthew and I send them to out to all the world.
Thank you. And, you know, I send you my joy and love and peace, too. And it's been such a pleasure to me to be able to talk with you again, because you are a shining light on Earth, and Matthew has brought his light in to Earth through you as well. So I thank you both. Have a wonderful life. And we've just begun.
We've just begun to make a difference? Or
no, we've just begun to do the real work of who and what we are. We're moving into new dimensions and new regions of time and space.
Right. We are solidifying our foundation to move on and know who we really are. So,
yes.
Thank you again. I love you, Michael.
I love you, Susie.
Thank you again, dear. And it won't be so long. At least we'll be in touch by email.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love and peace to everyone.
Thank you. Bye.